May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 1020. The castle of the human heart, strong in its native sin, is guarded well in every part by him who dwells within. Hymn 1020.
Read together for our instruction from the book of Psalms, reading Psalms 115 and 118. The book of Psalms, reading Psalms 115 and 118. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All the nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. The Lord bless that portion of his holy word and help us in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we seek to come unto thee. Thou the true and the living God. And whom have we but beside thee, who is able to look down upon thy people in all their needs, their straits, their difficulties, their troubles, when they may be greatly dismayed and perplexed. But thou, O Lord, dost see us, and thou canst come to us, and thou canst show and give thy mercy. Thou canst deliver us out from our affliction and trouble, and thou canst make a way where there is no way, and that thou canst cause the mountains to become a plain, and thou canst exalt the valleys, so that we may neither be lifted up with air nor cast down into that awful pit of despair. But to teach us, O Lord, the blessedness of putting our trust in thee, that we may lean upon thee, and in leaning move along, and prove, O Lord, that thou dost sustain us and maintain us, and that in thy gracious care we are kept. So, O Lord, do help us to look alone to thee, and grant us, Lord, the increase of that faith, which must lay hold upon the object of our love. He who hath loved us before we ever were in that place to love thee, And we would not have done so but for thy free, thy sovereign grace. We often prove, O Lord, our lack of love. We can readily join with the hymn writer and say, yet would love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more. But thou knowest, Lord, our poor hard hearts, hardened by the cares of life, hardened by the varying attractions that we see all around us, and our poor eyes soon fix and fasten upon something trivial and vain, and before we know where we are, taken up with it. Oh, we need thee, Lord, to arise and to deliver us from these enemies, for they are enemies to our consolation, comfort and peace. Oh, do drive them away and grant, Lord, that we might find a sweetness in thy word, and that we may have our eye fixed upon the word that thou mayest guide us unto. And maybe in the reading of thy word, such has been the experience of some in the pew, who have found to already derive some help, some consolation from the word read. And Lord, we do pray that there may be those things which, if not already affected the heart, may yet affect it, so that they may come to say, as concerning their own their own case before thee, that this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And if Christ be raised, then not only is he raised from the dead, as we read in thy word, but raised in our affections, raised to our admiration, that we might praise the Lord for all his goodness, for all his mercy. Lord, we read in thy word that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ was delivered for our offences and was raised for our justification. Yet we come before thee under that awful sense of our own of sin, sin that hangs heavy on our soul, and the charges that may be justly made against us, and the condemnation even unto eternal death. And so, Lord, thou wouldst be just if thou didst send our souls to hell. But when we read, raised for our justification, then, Lord, we have a little hope in the merits of our Lord and Saviour, of whom it is said he died for sinners. He died for me. Lord, we do pray that we may know this blessed hope to be raised up in our hearts, so that we may, like one of old, be able to go on our way rejoicing. And maybe, Lord, it will bring such to desire to be found walking in the steps of thy people, the line of witnesses who walked by faith and took those many steps in their lives in faith, venture in faith at times, perhaps fearing, yet having to go forward. Perhaps timid, but finding strength to do thy will. And Lord, is there one trembling sinner here that would hold back and fear to presume? To grant that strength of faith that they may testify of those things that thou hast done for them and in them, and to therefore give thee all the praise and the honour due unto thy holy name. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon this people. Thou knowest each and every case. Oh, do, Lord, make a way where there is no way for such who may feel that they have come to the end of all things. Lord, we know that nothing is impossible with thee, and help them therefore to carry on and to cast that upward glance when none but thee are near, and therefore to obtain strength through that waiting upon thee. We do, Lord, desire that thou would grant thy blessing upon those things wherein they have seen thee go before them and wait for thee to continue to go before them in all the anxieties that may be felt, but to see that he that begins must complete in all spiritual and providential experience. And there is nothing that is left undone by thee. O Lord, even though it may not be as we may anticipate in the working out, but to see that what does transpire is ever best. Sometimes we prove that thou dost work contrary, so that thou mayest bring us to utter dependence upon thee, and not to depend upon an arm of flesh. We do, Lord, desire thy help given to those that bear office, and do, Lord, give them the needed humility and love and grace to walk before the people. And may they, Lord, prove that they are helped day by day. We would commend unto thee, O Lord, the young and rising race. They may not be with us, but we would remember them, Lord, and pray that they may be preserved from the many evils of the day. For indeed we see what evil abounds. We tremble for them, particularly as this nation sinks more and more into wretchedness, immorality, Sabbath desecration, blaspheming thy holy name, deliberately walking in those ways of sin, and fighting against the word of God. O Lord, what a solemn situation is ours. And we indeed are like even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lord, thou didst rain down upon them fire and brimstone to burn up the cities of the plain and to mar it forever. Lord, then what may we expect but if it be thy mercy to withhold such solemn judgment even for thy little remnant's sake. O Lord, we know that Abraham prayed even to Ten's sake, and perhaps there he thought that there may be such a number as associated, connected with his nephew Lot. And yet, O Lord, not even they, because when Lot went to reason with them, they laughed at him. They pushed him away until it was needful for messengers to take hold upon Lot and to bring him out. Lord, it is therefore our desire that we may be as one who is made ready to leave the things which men may love, and not fear their deridings, nor their mockings, but to seek to be faithful, even unto death. We would pray that there would be a gracious unto those in affliction, and thou knowest, Lord, such that have affliction. Some affliction may, as it were, come and go, or so it seems. Other remains. Some may be faced with it, to continue with it to their dying day. Others may obtain some relief, even through the medication or the operations that they pass through or have. Lord, there may be many fears when such are faced with these things, but may it be that thou dost bless the means. We would remember those, Lord, that are in bereavement, and pray for them in their time of sorrow, but may they be comforted, and comfort them as no man is able to comfort, and sustain them during the days and weeks and months before them, when everyone else may have forgotten or ceased to bear them up before thee. Yet still remember them, we pray. And so we would bear before thee all the widows and widowers, and the fatherless, and those, Lord, who may also be bereaved of their children. Lord, we commend thy people in every state that they may be in, and pray that they may find thee to be that faithful, merciful God who never forgets. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt therefore look upon Zion at large. May it be that still there are those to be brought, and that the sons, thy many sons, may come as seeking unto thee, returning unto thee. O dear Lord, therefore, in this solemn day, yet grant us the encouragement that there are still those left whom thou must bring. We pray that thou wilt be mindful, therefore, of those in other parts of the earth, and remember, and we would remember them who may not have the same blessings and comforts that we experience, but know many privations and persecutions, and may be threatened with death because of their belief. Oh, dear Lord, help them to stand fast. And now, Lord, send help, we pray, from the sanctuary. Be all that we need, mouth, matter, and wisdom, and that hearing ear to those that hear. So hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive us of our many sins, and make up in giving where we fail in our asking. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 909. Why, drooping saint, dismayed, does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid, or does he seem to frown? Hymn 909.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to Psalm 115, reading verses 9, 10 and 11. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11 inclusive. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. As we have read the text to you, maybe you may have thought, why these three verses when there is repetition? When we find the very things are said to one and to another, will not just one verse be sufficient for the preacher to make his remarks? First of all, we would remind you that there is no vain repetition with God. There may be vain repetition with men. We may repeat many things unnecessarily, but where we have repetition in the Word of God, be assured of this, there is a purpose in it. We find in these Psalms that we read, this one and the 118th, there is considerable repetition. Sometimes repeated twice, and sometimes three times. You may have noticed how that this psalm comes to the words that we have read to you for a text, which have similar words in the 118th psalm, where it says, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Or let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. There will always be something to be said amongst the inhabitants of Zion. And we find that the psalmist speaks in this way, first of all, Israel, because Israel, the Lord brought them out of Egypt. He delivered them from the bondage that they were under there. And he brought them into the wilderness, and he led them about until he would bring them into the promised land. Israel as a nation, as they came forth as a people, and there had been much increase there in Egypt, though they were there under bondage, yet the more afflicted, the more they grew, till they became a great people. And Moses, in leading them forth, he had no easy task. But Moses, time and time again, needed to look to this God of Israel, and to plead for the children of Israel, and how the Lord did graciously grant those mercies that were pleaded for by Moses. We may perhaps particularly mention the time when the Lord said he would not go up amongst the children of Israel to take them on their journeys. And Moses pleaded and said, "Thou hast not said by whom thou wilt lead us up, or words that effect. And if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." But the Lord had faithfully assured Moses that his presence would go with them and he would give them rest. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Again, we find it is particularly to be mentioned to the priests, the house of Aaron, the ministers, those who administer to and on behalf of the people, such that would take the offerings that were brought and offer them up upon the altar and sprinkle the blood as the Lord had directed them. None other were to do the work but the priests and the Levites to fulfill also their tasks. Therefore, this word must be remembered by the ministers of God. And as Israel to represent the church, or the church to represent Israel, the Church of God is one that the Lord, the thing that the Lord will honour and bless, his church, his body, she who is as the bride, and the heavenly bridegroom will be all unto his Israel. So he must be to his ministers and those that are sent, God sent ministers will ever prove that God is faithful to them, to help them to minister faithfully in the word. And so there were in the New Testament set before us the very counterpart of Israel and the priests. There were those that were apostles. And though the apostles were to not continue because they were the layers, as it were, of the foundation. That which was laid, even Jesus Christ, we may still seek to look to that foundation which is laid, to minister and to preach concerning the foundation. But we also build upon that foundation, and oh, to be given the grace to build upon it those precious things, and not the wood, the hay, the stubble that may be consumed. So, O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. And it will be found by everyone that bears office, particularly those that ascend into the pulpit. They need this word again and again. Trust in the Lord. They may come up empty. The Lord fills the earthen vessel. So they have to trust in the Lord. And those exercised in the work will perhaps sometimes tremble, lest they should be left to confusion. But this is the word of strength. O house of Aaron, O ye ministers of his, ye servants of the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Then we come to the people, those that fear the Lord, those that reverence his name, those that tremble at his word, those that know what it is to have a broken and contrite spirit, repenting souls, those that come labouring under their burdens and come to cast their care upon him. Trust in the Lord. Oh, what a blessed word it is of encouragement. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now, if it had only been spoken to Israel as a nation, if it had only been spoken to the Lord's appointed ministers, and this not again repeated to and spoken to particularly, ye that fear the Lord, you may feel left out. And you see the importance, therefore, of this repetition. It's a repetition for you, for me, for indeed all those that fear the Lord, whether they be small or great, whether they be as those that are as rulers or as those that are servants in the house of God, the doorkeeper, as well as the one in the pulpit. But this embraces the whole of those people that may be known amongst the gatherings that come to worship God. And it may be a pertinent question: how have we come to worship him? Is it in the fear of the Lord that we have come to worship him? Do you have a case to bring? Do you have a hungry soul that needs to be fed? Are you seeking unto him for some gracious help and guidance? Do you need him to defend you amidst those that speak against you? Have you come for the scenes, the busy scenes of life, of business, in the business world, and all the cares they press down upon you? Here is a word: ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And here we have also repeated these three times that it concerns all that are thus spoken of, their help. The psalmist is not saying this to his soul, though he may well say it to his soul, but it is for the encouragement of all those, the sheep of his pasture, God's pasture. He is, God is, their help and shield. Well, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. we find that the reason why there is this exhortation is because the Lord is God. He is God the Lord, and there is none else. All of those are idols that the heathen set up. All the gods of the earth, the gods of flesh, they are gods of the dead. They are dead gods. But trust in the Lord, the living God, the one who is over all, above all, the one who is in the heavens. And so, though the heathen may say, where is now their God? Yet we may say, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. How unpalatable this is to the worldling. It may even be so to many professors. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. He raises one up and he puts another down. He brings one to know his sovereign love, and another he will leave to go on in their own deceitful, wicked way. Those that he has chosen before time began, to work in them a work of effectual grace. And why? Can we answer the reason why? Why should he choose a poor, vile, wretched sinner as Jacob? When we may compare him with his brother Esau, we can see just as many gross sins in Jacob as you can ever in Esau. And yet, Jacob may bless his God because he was his God. Because Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And if the Lord had not appeared unto Jacob there at Bethel, then Jacob would not have known this God, neither come to the very place that he would feel to be the house of God and the very gate of heaven. Neither would he be able to make that vow. And remember, friends, that any true vow of a child of God must be based upon what he has received of God. Jacob had received the promise, I will be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again. And upon that, Jacob could say that if the Lord brought him again, then he would be his God. Not that he wasn't his God then. He will go in the strength of him being the Lord his God. He will prove the Lord to be his God many times when his wages were changed by Laban 10 times. When Laban so dealt deceitfully with him, yet there he would prove that this was his God. When he would return and have to face Esau, he would prove that this was his God. And there the man came and wrestled with him to the break of day. What a night. But what was conveyed into the heart of Jacob, who was to be called Israel, for as a prince as thou prevailed with God. O Israel, O house of Aaron, ye that fear the Lord, trust thou in the Lord. This God, who is the all-creative God, created the heavens and the earth, yes, and also can create that according to his people's needs. We read of the time when our Lord and Saviour was here upon the earth, when he made clay, he made it from his very spittle to lay it upon the eyes of the man that was blind, that he might see. You see, the Lord, he makes things, not perhaps in that material sense, but he makes things to work together. He works out those things that may concern us. It is he that creates within us a new heart. It is he that gives us a right spirit. Therefore we see him not only as the creator of heaven and earth, but also he that makes us a new creation to be followers of him. A spiritual Israel, spiritual servants of the Lord Most High, and a spiritual people that fear him. Our God is the omniscient God. He sees. He sees us in every situation. He sees us in our distress. And then he will pity us and give us to feel a little sense of it. When perhaps we have come to the end, to our wit's end in it, feeling we can go on no more, but his eye is upon us. He sees us, therefore, when we are there going astray like a lost sheep. He looks for his returning prodigal. The omniscient God, he sees. Not like those idols, they could not see. But neither could they speak. They gave no word, but the Lord has given us the word. He's given us the word that is written. Not just written upon paper or whatever the medium may be upon which to write, but he's written it and he writes it in the hearts of his people so that it is a word that speaks. God speaks. He speaks still to his people. Have you heard his voice? Is your ear attentive to it? Do you listen to see whether there is something that will be of good to you? Well, O Israel, O ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord who speaks. And then again, we find that those dumb idols, they have mouths but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Ah, our God hears. He will hear. He will hear the cry of the destitute and not despise their prayer. He will hear the cry of a Hezekiah who turns himself to the wall with the awfulness of death before him, and will return his prophet to say, "Thou shalt not die, but live." You see, dear friends, we have a God who hears. You may say, does he hear my cry, my groan? Sometimes I know not what to say. I only perhaps have one word to repeat again and again. We opened about repetition. A child of God who comes and can get no further than one word. And I know the experience, friends. A time when all I could say was, "Lord, Lord, Lord." Got no further. A time of deep distress. But did the Lord turn a deaf ear to it? I trust not, else I could never be here before you this evening. But the Lord hears, so distinct from the idols and those that worship but mere men. They may dumb idols will not, deaf idols will not hear. Men they may hear, but they turn a deaf ear, as we say. But God hears. My God will hear. Well then, this is what we have. We have a God in whom we can trust because of what he is. He is the omnipotent God, the God of power, the God who is able to arise for our help, the God who goes forth with his people in their battles, and there are some battles, not battles as Israel knew in the days of as a nation against the rising nations around. Oh, they had many battles, and David had his battles. And David proved that God, even in those battles, was the one in whom he could trust, the one who would also defend, and the one who would bring victory. But you know those battles that go on in your own heart. Against sin. Against your own carnal self. Against the devil. Against the world that rages within you. And how shall we do in these battles? Trust in the Lord. Well, now we want to come to what it means to trust. It's a very large word in its meaning. We may take perhaps just one or two aspects. First of all, to trust in the Lord is to depend. Dependence. You see, dear friends, you will prove that to depend upon self or something base will only bring you into greater trouble, greater debt, increase of sin. But those things will never be to depend wholly upon our God. Because the Lord is no debtor to his people. The Lord, he will not lead us into evil, but rather deliver us out from it. And if he shall permit that some trouble should come, it's only that he may work his work. It's only that he may teach you his power to deliver. It's only that he may guide you in the way. And therefore, what shall be the very need of the soul but to depend on him? Thou canst not fail. Make all thy wants and wishes known. Ah, Jesus, thy God, it is he that will prevail over all the fears of your own heart and over all those that rise against you. Dependence. You have to depend upon him when there seems to be no way through. The Israelites were brought to dependence. Though perhaps their cry unto God may have been with much anguish and may have said, we would rather have stayed in Egypt than had all this to be brought here to die into this wilderness. But in it, they could only cast themselves upon God. They needed him to make a way, and Moses, as he pleaded for them, the Lord commanded them first to stand still, dependence, and see the salvation of the Lord. And then command the children of Israel that they go forward, dependence. They would see the rod stretched out, and then the waves divide. A path was made. So, O Israel, it may be said then, trust thou in the Lord and see what will happen. Go on, pass through this sea. There is the other side. I will be with thee when thou passest through the waters and through the rivers. When I will be with thee, thou passest through. Yes, every step. And how was it? He caused the pillar of cloud to go between them and the Egyptians, that it may be darkness, a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but a cloud of light to the children of Israel. And what should they do in the morning but rejoice in the wonderful interposition of God, having dealt with their enemies so that they saw them there as dead upon the seashore. They were now separated from Egypt. They need not fear any more the pursuit of those Egyptians. Now to go forth trusting, depending in the Lord. They had to prove, though, they had fickle and hard hearts. Oh, they tempted God, didn't they? And are you any better? but to be brought again and again, particularly when the Lord shows us, reveals to us those things wherein he provides. Wherein he provides. And if you know anything of the providing hand of God, then though you may forgetful be, like those disciples were, they had the evidence of the feeding of the 5,000 and of the 4,000, and when they were there in the ship, the Lord asked them whether they had any bread. And they thought, because they had none, or very little, that he was, as it were, reprimanding them. But he would remind them of the case, of those things that had happened. And it was this word, surely. They had not been brought to see the importance of this dependence. Ye disciples, trust in the Lord. Depend on him. He is able to provide. And now I want to take another aspect of this word trust. To trust in the Lord is confidence. It's the confidence of faith. When we speak of the confidence of faith, we must put the emphasis upon faith, which is the gift of God. Faith that sees the object, beholds the glory of God, knows what he is according to his glorious being, and also according to his person, as the dear Son of God may be revealed. And there you find there is a confidence. A confidence which, if it is maintained, will be able to remove mountains, be able to even tread the seas. Ah, poor Peter, he soon looked down, didn't he, and began to sink. But he would be brought to look again and cry, Lord, save or I perish. The faithful hand would take hold of Peter and bring him again into the ship to prove the word of peace that would still the waves and the winds. You see, it's a sweet thing to have this confidence. The name of the Lord is strong confidence. Those that trust in the name of the Lord will prove that to trust in him is a confidence, a sweet confidence. When you are brought to leave all in his hands, brought to prove that underneath are the everlasting arms, brought to know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Confidence. The confidence of faith. But then there is also in this trusting. If we trust in him, we will have an expectation or a sweet hope. We will find that a hope and expectation go together. Faith believes it, hope expects it. And expects that there will be a good end. Now, as we may set forth in the path, we may have many fears, but you may expect this, that he that hath begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He who said, I go away and I come again. And when he comes again, he receives us unto himself. We that may therefore have a God upon whom we depend, in whom our confidence is fixed, can have a blessed expectation of all that he has provided, both in time and eternity. A blessed hope that can fix as an anchor within the veil, whither the forerunner has for us entered. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. We will prove, therefore, that help. Often it is to know what it is to be held up. We need to be held up in our lives, held up when we walk the rough and rugged road, held up when we are ready to sink, held up when we're ready to fall, held up when we feel our knees to shake, those feeble knees, hands held up, so that an Amalek may not prevail against us, but that we may prove that the Spirit's work is accomplished as faith is strengthened and as we wait upon our God. He is their help. And he is the help that will be known within to strengthen our inner man when our outward man begins to perish. And this is so often with the Lord's people as they come down into their old age and await for that time when they shall be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Oh, what help they need then. Help in the swellings of Jordan. Help when they will perhaps find that they have the greatest fears attend them and the most fiercest doubts yet to prove that God is their help. He is their help, a help in every time of need. He is their help and their shield. And we can only just say a few things upon this latter part of the text. But what a shield he gives us, or what a shield he is. First of all, what he is. He is a shield in that he has purposed that he should put a hedge about us, that he should be that wall of fire round about, that he would defend his people. Therefore he is a shield. But he also gives, as it were, a shield. We've spoken of faith. Faith and the sweet confidence of faith. We shall have a sweet confidence if faith is to us as a shield to quench the fiery darts of the devil. And to find that the devil can say what he may, but we may retort and say, what doth the scripture say? What hath God said? When we may feel Satan ready to beat us to the ground and to rejoice over us, the word may come when the sword of the Spirit may be laid hold upon. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I am down, I shall arise. That a power of rising is in him who rose from the dead, who broke the bands of death and of the grave, that death should not have a sting, neither the grave a victory, but he will be the victory for his people. Therefore, when we may find that we are assailed, here is our strength, our shield. And what can Satan say? When we may point to his redeeming blood and say it through that shed blood that we stand, that we may have acceptance with God, that we may be overcome. They overcame through the blood of the Lamb. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And again we would repeat, O ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He gives that shield of faith so that we may take that above almost all other, above all, says the apostle, taking the shield of faith. And faith, it's a very blessed gift. It's a very blessed grace. And it bears a very blessed fruit. And what is the ultimate fruit, we may say, of faith? Is when faith has won its back battles and has brought us through the long journey of the wilderness here, and we then may enter into the heavenly Canaan, and faith gives place to sight. Then we see him as he is. Then we know how it shall be with us. We know not what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Like him. Oh, amazing. Amazing truth. Amazing grace. He is their shield. He is their help and their shield. Well, we make these remarks, but our time is gone. May you find thoughts and meditation to be upon this a blessed word and find it to be that encouragement that you need throughout all the trials and battles here in this life. For we shall prove if we are the children of God, we won't be long left alone. The devil will not leave us for long, and we shall need, therefore, to trust in the Lord, for he is our help and our shield.
God willing, Dr. Sadder will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Izzard on Tuesday next week. Let us close with hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn 13.
Thank you.
Satan, O Lord, all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us. And Lord, we would thank thee that where there has been omission in the sermon, there has been the bringing together of those things in the hymn. And so, Lord, may we go on our way with thy sweet hope and thy everlasting mercy. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.